Okay, this is from a chapter called Translocation. And Sunny is taken under the wing of one of her professors. She's an older student, and he's a herpetologist. And here's an attractive woman who is not afraid of snakes because she's been handling snakes all her life, whereas most of the graduate students are a little reluctant. So a farmer has discovered a rattlesnake den, and he says, if you want these snakes, you come and get them. Otherwise, I'm going to dynamite them, which is illegal, but which is often happens. Well, here's a relic population of timber rattlers in central Illinois, where they're not, they you don't usually find them. So this is a big deal. And they're going to try to move them. They're going to move them from the den and put them somewhere else. And no one knows what'll happen then. Will the snakes just wander off? So I'm going to begin in the middle of this. They've gotten all their equipment out there, and Sonny is really the only one who knows how to handle snakes. The professor and another man are trying to dig a hole in the den with shovels, and she knows that's not going to work. So she's got a little, she brought a little gasoline with her and a rubber tube, and she sticks the tube down in the den and blows some gasoline fumes down in it, and then the snakes start to appear. The whole thing, actually, was pretty wonderful. Not many people have seen what we saw. About 30 specimens of Crotalus horridus horridus all in one place. They're smaller than your eastern diamondback and not as feisty. There were some flashy rat snakes, too, which often den with timber rattlers. But the timbers were beautiful in their own modest ground colors, basic browns and greens and yellows. It was an astonishing sight, and I was glad that Laura, one of the graduate students, had brought her camera. We faced each other, snakes and humans, like two football teams facing each other across the line of scrimmage, waiting for the referee to blow his whistle or for the quarterback to call the play. But no one moved, not for a long time. I didn't know what the others were thinking, but I was thinking of a verse from the Bible. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And I was thinking that someone had better do something. I attached one of the sacks to my butterfly net frame and decided to face the four-foot snake that had lifted up his yellow head and was staring right at me with its lidless eyes. Earl would have pinned him with a forked stick, but you can hurt a snake that way, especially a big one. He'll twist and turn and maybe break his neck, or her neck. I took a deep breath. The muscles in my arm were twitching. My heart was pounding. My feet and arms were tingling. I had my hook in one hand and my net in the other, and the snake and I faced each other like a couple of Roman gladiators. I was the one with the net and the three-pronged stick. Or maybe like two lovers who've taken all their clothes off for the first time and are sizing each other up. I wanted to get the hook under its middle, a little toward the front, but when I touched him with the hook, he exploded and went into a defensive coil, his rattle singing. He was wide awake now. Most of the others were still groggy. I moved toward him, staying out of striking range, about 2 feet. I distracted him with the net, holding it over his head. Snakes can't strike up, which is why deer and horses can trample them so easily. Earl would sometimes wave a hanky over a snake and then reach down and scratch it right on top of its head. It would have been an impressive trick, but I decided against it. I kept touching the snake with the hook, and every time I touched him, he struck, leaving gobs of yellow-orange venom on the hook itself and on the handle. I kept doing this to wear him down, and after a dozen strikes, he straightened out and started to head into the woods. I dropped the net and managed to get the hook under his middle and lift him up. He was heavy, probably about 4 pounds. 4 pounds may not seem like much, but 4 pounds of twisting rattlesnake on the end of a stick will wear your arms out pretty fast. "Hand me the sack," I barked. Nobody moved. I barked again. "The net! Somebody hold the net under him!" Finally, Kramer, my professor, held up the net. I tried to maneuver the snake tail first into the sack, but he kept swinging his head around to look at me. I twisted the hook one last time to slide him into the net, but he straightened out his neck in a kind of clumsy strike and glided over the edge of the net, his head sticking straight out into midair. I worked him back till most of the weight was over the sack. I lowered the hook suddenly, and the snake disappeared into the sack. I was hardly conscious of what had been happening. The other snakes were slowly coming to life. Some were singing. I put the net on the ground and blocked the snake with the handle of the hook while I unsnapped the net from the frame. I folded the top of the bag over and fastened it. The handle of the hook was still thick with venom. We had our first rattlesnake. I was wild with excitement, which I did my best to conceal. This was better than being anointed. Well, they get the snakes back to the university and in their special cages, and they drink a little bit of whiskey, and her professor gives her a kiss. And we skip ahead to that night. That night, Jackson and I drank beer while I cooked two small steaks on the French stove, steak au poivre, and then we drank a little red wine with the steaks. I drank just enough to maintain my high. After we finished the dishes, I went upstairs and put on my French outfit. I wanted to discover whose version of myself I was going to be, Jackson's or Kramer's. I hadn't washed it, and it was wrinkled and still had the red wine stains down the front. I doubted if they'd ever come out. My small breasts looked nice and firm in the spaghetti strap camisole. I admired myself in the mirror over Jackson's big chestnut dresser. I don't think I've ever been so aroused. The dress was like a magic girdle, the magic girdle I read about in Western Civ. Not a girdle, but some kind of a belt that you fastened under your breasts. More like a bra than a belt. Hera, the queen of the gods, borrows it from Aphrodite, the goddess of love, when she wants to seduce her husband. All you have to do is put it on and you are irresistible. That's the way I felt, irresistible to myself too, even though I hadn't taken a shower. And when I put my hands up to my nose, I could smell snake and gasoline and whiskey and maybe Kramer too. My body was trembling, just the way it had when I had confronted the big snake. My mind was spinning, my heart pounding, my feet and hands tingling, my stomach churning. Jackson, I called, come up here, I want to show you something. He took his time, made me wait. Then on the stairs, I felt each step like a smart, sassy slap on the ass. At the top of the stairs, we confronted each other in a rush of fear and pleasure. I could hear my own bones singing like a rattlesnake's rattle. I could feel my stomach coiling, and below my stomach, something ready to strike. I wondered what happened to that outfit, Jackson said, looking me up and down, but I was afraid to ask. You look 10 times better than you did when I got here, I said. You look like you're full of life. I could already feel his hands on me. I unfastened the cache-coeur and the little putty-colored skirt, and then pulled the cami over my head, like a snake shedding its skin. I could feel my blood thickening. I was turning into DX's two-headed snake, into a powerful erection that would pulse under this man's touch. I was Snake Woman. I was the python in the sand cave in the Tsodilo Hills. And when we embraced, we turned into the ancient Mesopotamian tree of life. His kisses were like blood and salt. But afterwards, when he turned to me and asked, what just happened? I didn't say anything about the snakes. What just happened? I had to think. My heart started beating faster, I said, and my breathing got faster too, and I tightened all my muscles, and my nipples got hard, and my clit swelled up, and my pelvic area got engorged with blood, and I had about 15 muscle contractions. And then my body got rigid, and then it relaxed. Why? What do you think happened? You took me inside you, he said, and devoured my seed when I was most vulnerable and you were most triumphant. I explored your dark continent at my own risk. You lured me on, but because I survived the encounter, you will now share your great riches and power with me because you love me. It wasn't really funny, but I started to laugh. Is that what really happened? That's what really happened, he said. I thought maybe he was right.